morning, Maywood. I was really hoping for a snow day, but here we are, so. In March. Hey, we live in Missouri, you never know. So today we're picking up, well, let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for Maywood. I thank you for all the people I see today and the ones that have come back I haven't seen for years. God, I thank you for everybody. And I just pray for Jake as he's on his sabbatical. May you fill him up. And I just thank you for Maywood. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today we're going to pick up right where Jake left off in John chapter 6. I'm going to start with a video that some of the girls... So we were in Florida last weekend to celebrate Tandra and Carrie's year of sobriety. So everybody give them... So as an illustration, I went ahead and did this video.
Great.
Good morning, Maywood. So we're in Hollywood, Florida Beach, and we decided for the sermon to do an experiment to talk about how Jesus can do take something so small and turn it into something huge. So today for the science experiment, we have Tandra and Carrie. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking these small bits of something so small, it's not the biggest candy you've ever seen. We're going to be putting it in Diet Coke to watch the big explosion. The recorder, so everybody give her a round of applause. All right, so we are in John chapter 6, 1 through 11, so I'll go ahead and read that scripture. If you guys want to get your Bible out, I didn't bring a Bible because I was afraid I would like fumble through the pages and lose my spot, so. All right, so it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks. He distributed to those who seated as much as they wanted, and they did the same with the fish. So today I'm going to be talking about, the experiment was about a Mentos and how small it was and how God can take something so small and turn it into this great big thing. So the people following Jesus in this time, he's seen a great crowd coming toward him. And the thing about these people were they were sick, they were hungry. They had heard of a guy that was healing people and they had heard of the miracles of Jesus and they thought, maybe if I could just go walk with him, maybe I can be healed. Maybe I can be filled. So today I'm going to be talking, I'm going to take you back to when I first started walking with Christ, right where these people were. And it was, so I have to take you back to before I walked with Christ, the beginning of my walk with God, and after it was walking with Jesus for about a year. So before I walked with God, I was sick, I was tired, and I ended up in the ICU. My mom was a member of Maywood Baptist Church, and she had asked Coach Bob to come up to the hospital and pray for me, because she didn't know that if I was going to make it or not. Coach Bob came up to KU and he prayed for me. Coach Bob didn't come into the room that I was in because he knew that I wasn't receptive to the Bible yet, which was probably a good thing because I would have, you know, told him to get out of here. But this was the first time in my life that I felt like people who didn't know me were praying for me. People who had no idea who I was. And I felt loved by Pastor Bob, even though he didn't even come in the room and talk to me. And I would just like to say that if you're sitting in here today, it's because someone was praying for you. And this is exactly what led me to Christ later, was that small thing. So Pastor Bob did a small thing. He literally went up to the hospital and prayed for someone. And through that is what led me to Christ. So I went to Healing House a few months later, and this is the beginning of my walk with Christ, how God did something very, very small. I was in a small group, and there was a couple named Dan and Edie, and I joined their small group. And this was a time I had to make a hard decision, and I was going to turn myself in for warrants that I had. And so they asked me in the small group, does anybody have prayer requests? And I said, well, yeah, I'm going to turn myself in on my third or probably my fourth probation violation. And I don't really know if I'm going to get out anytime soon, is basically what I told them. And they said, well, where are you turning yourself in at? And I said, Johnson County, Kansas. And they said, well, we live in Johnson County, so we're going to come and visit you on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. So at this time in my life, people who didn't even know me came and seen me on a weekly basis while I was in jail. And never before in my whole life, so I was locked up as an adolescent for almost 2 years. And in the whole 2 years that I was seen, I think my mom came visited me one time. And so every time I went to jail, every time I got locked up, I never had any visitors, never had any money on my books, I never had anything. And there's people who didn't even know me that knew that I was trying to live for Jesus and do the next right thing, and they seen me on a weekly basis in Johnson County, Kansas. They showed up for my court appearance, not knowing if the judge was going to release me or not, and they were the only ones there for me. And still to this day, Dan and Edie text me on a daily basis, and they send me morning meditation, and they have never left my side even today. So. So the next big thing that happened is after I was walking with Christ a year, Coach Jake invited me to flight training. And Coach Jake had seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. He seen, you know, I just had no hope for myself. And Coach Jake, for some reason, thought, like, you know, you're doing great and all this. And I just didn't think I was. And so he invited me into flight training, and this was the first time I felt like someone had seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. And God had put people in my life to show me how to become a new person, and flight training gave me new disciplines. It gave me confidence. I started teaching Sunday school downstairs, and I never thought I would teach anything in my life. I could barely read when I first got here. Seriously, you guys don't understand. And I felt like what God was saying to me is, Gabby, you deserve this. Like, you have done everything I have asked you to do, and you deserve to have a happy life. And so out of Jake's small thing of inviting me to flight training, here I am teaching a sermon. Which, I will just tell you guys, this is not very comfortable, okay? And I just would never have seen myself doing any of this, honestly. And Coach Jake seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. And that's how this whole entire church is. So one of my favorite verses is Matthew 16:25. And it's one of the first verses that I read in jail out of a book called Captivating. And it's something that's just really stuck with me just all along my walk with Jesus. So we'll turn to that slide. And it says, I'll just say it how I like to say it. She who tries to save her life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will live forever. And literally, when these people start walking with Jesus, what we have to realize is that they left everything behind. When I started walking with God, I had to leave everything I knew behind. And the thing is God is saying here that we can gain it all. We can have all new. So, the thing that got me out of these verses is that God can take something so small and do something big out of it. We see that God takes care of us. He reveals himself to us, and most importantly, I don't know if you've seen that video, but when you leave everything behind, God will give you new friends. And there's people here at Maywood that will be your friend for the rest of your life. There's people like Dan and Edie that have never left my side. There's people like Coach Bob, Pastor Jake, everybody here. And so God gives us all new things. And it's especially easy when we had nothing before. Amen. All right. So my question for you today is, who are you impacting? You know, thinking of COVID, it's been very hard to go and visit someone in the hospital or to go see someone in jail because there's so many restrictions. You know, there are other ways, and as much as I never liked social media before, I've been using it because, you know, that's a way to reach people now. So in John 6, Jesus sits these people down, and the fact of the matter is these people came hungry and they were stuffed. They had leftovers, you know? They were stuffed. So I talked a little bit about how God was with me in the very beginning of my walk with God, but God is with me even today. So I married a wonderful man, and then I had a daughter. And then I had a daughter that looks just like him, you know? She looks nothing like me. I did all that work. Anyway, it's fine. She's the best. So what I want you guys to take from this is no matter how big your problem is or how small your problem is, our God is much, much bigger. Our God is much bigger. And so what's going on in the world right now, what's going on in our lives individually, God's got us. You know, there's a lot of people that I have been praying for, and at some point I had to just stop trying to fight their battles. And I had to say, God, I'm going to let you fight their battles. So for the last few minutes of this sermon, I'm going to ask Coach Daniel and the worship team to come back up here so that we can reflect in a time. Do you want the whole team to come up here?
Yeah.
Okay. So that we can just praise God for the small things, for the big things that he's done for us, so we can pray for people that we know need praying. And it's just a time of reflection. So thank you, guys.